Thank you, Christine Webster, and it's 6:10 here in Melbourne, on the east coast of Australia. I'm Geraldine Coutts. This is Pacific Beat, and indeed we are going to continue on now and have a look at what is happening after the earthquake. And as we've been covering all morning, an 8.3 magnitude earthquake has hit just off the coast of American Samoa, 180 kilometres from Hi'ipo in Tonga and 200 kilometres from Samoa's capital Apia. A US National Park Service official says the quake and tsunami in American Samoa has caused deaths, but there's no word on how many. Niue, Wallace and Futuna, Tokelau and Cook Islands are also within a short distance of the quake and tsunami, as is the top end of New Zealand. Reports are still coming in, but the massive quake was also very shallow, at 21 miles under the surface, and the Pacific Tsunami Warning Centre has issued a tsunami warning for American Samoa, New Zealand and all regional Pacific states. We're going back to the Pacific Tsunami Warning Centre in Hawaii now for the latest on the warnings that were issued less than an hour ago, and we're joined by Kenoa Koinaji. Good morning, or good afternoon it is for you there, isn't it?
Yeah, we're still mourning here.
Now, the last time we spoke with Nathan, he said that you were waiting for information to come in from your gauges across the Pacific to ascertain a whole bunch of information. Have you been able to get much information from the gauges yet?
Yes, there's a considerable number of gauges that have reported in now. The ones that are probably most interest to you are the ones in New Zealand, and it appears that most of those gauges are recording wave heights that are pretty small, on the order of 10 to 20 centimeters. So as far as that direction goes, it doesn't appear you're going to have much of a problem, even with the later waves that might come in. On the other hand, wave heights at Rarotonga are about half a meter. Modeling results indicate that we may have wave heights of anywhere from half a meter to maybe a meter in some of the more susceptible U.S. points that tend to get amplified tsunami waves. So we're still watching that situation.
And have you got any more information as to what direction it will go? They weren't sure last time.
Well, you would think that most of the wave energy will emanate towards the north and east of the Samoa island chain, not likely to go the other direction. So there's not much out there except open water until it gets to Hawaii. And we still have 3 hours before that wave gets here.
And so how big will it be once it gets to you in 3 hours' time?
Well, we're getting a better and better idea of about how big it will be. But at this point, our best guess is that it won't exceed a meter at nearly every location here. So we haven't done any cancellation of the warning watch yet, but that may or may not occur in the next hour or so.
Now, Pango Pango, the airport is closed because some debris has washed ashore. Have you got any other reports of similar incidents?
I've heard some reports from some of the other people who've been talking to news media and such that there might have been some damage to boats in that area. My guess is that the wave heights locally at some isolated locations may have been considerably higher than the 1.5 meters or so that we saw at the tide gauge at Pango Pango.
And we can expect aftershocks. Do you think that they'll actually add to the height of the tsunamis and create more problems for you?
Not likely, unless those aftershocks are much larger in magnitude than the ones we've seen so far. Well, we haven't seen anything above about a 5.5 to 6. So at those magnitudes, they're not going to deform the seafloor enough to cause any additional wave activity.
So where to from here for you now? What will you keep doing? You keep issuing warnings?
We'll continue to monitor this until we issue a cancellation. So we'll be here as long as it takes. We're open 24 hours. So we'll be here until it plays itself out.
And how long do you think that'll be? Best guess.
Right now, if you want to guess, it probably will play itself out in the next 3 to 4 hours, unless we see something unusual, in which case we'll hold on until that wave crosses. We'll definitely wait till it crosses the Hawaiian Islands. Beyond that, just depends on what we see here.
And do you know what caused it?
Well, the earthquake basically caused it. It was large enough. Magnitude 8 is really a great earthquake. They don't occur very often, fortunately. On average, about once a year or two, we get one somewhere in the world. And that size tsunami and shallow enough depth, you're going to have the seafloor deform just as we would expect, enough so that the waves can be excited. And once that happens, there's no stopping the tsunami. It will generate and propagate.
But you're fairly confident now that you've got all the information in from the gauges, which are right across the Pacific.
Well, there's many, many gauges. So yep. we constantly are getting more gauges. And the further this wavefront expands, the number of gauges that pick this up will increase, not linearly, but because the wavefront gets larger and larger, we'll get more data in a shorter time period than before.
Okay, Mr. Koinagi, who is with the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center in Hawaii, thank you very much for your time this morning, and maybe we'll check back later to see how it's going. Thank you very much. Tai Fuimano, an airport supervisor at Ponga Ponga Airport in American Samoa, experienced the earthquake while at home and has arrived at work to find waves swept across the runways at the airport, and he spoke with me earlier.
It sounds to me like you have our most recent bulletin, which only went out a few minutes ago, which is good news. It's good news that you have it. What I can add to that is that we did record a tsunami in American Samoa and Western Samoa on our instrumentation there. In Western Samoa, it was about 0.7 meters, 7/10 of a meter. And in,
obviously, that was not Dave Fuimono. And so the airport at Ponga Ponga has been closed, and Dave Fuimono experienced it while he was at home and has now got himself to work, and he spoke with me a little earlier.
We had an earthquake earlier, and then we just got hit by a minor tsunami. So we ran a runway inspection, and there's some debris on the middle of the runway 523, and some of the FAA lights have been damaged. So we're working on getting the lights back, and we're still waiting for the tsunami to clear out, and then we'll clear the debris. But as of now, we're closing the runways and the airport at the time being.
So is there much water on the surface of the airport at the moment, as you can see it?
Not really. It's pretty dried out, but we're still concerned with the sea level on the outside. It's still kind of low on the outside, but there's not much water on the runway at the time, just some debris.
So were you at the airport when the tsunami hit?
Actually, I was on my way to the airport when this hit. And I just got in and ran an inspection afterwards.
So how far inland did the water go?
Not far in, about 300 feet inside the fencing area that we have on the runways.
Now, as we understand it, 8.3 is a fairly sizable earthquake. Did you feel it?
Yes, pretty much. And it was quite long, about 30 seconds.
Were you at home or in your car at the time the earthquake hit?
I was at home at the time.
And so was there shaking, rattling, and rolling, and what did you experience?
It was pretty strong, shaking and rattling at the house. And then right after the earthquake worn out, and I can see all the corals on the ocean side has been showing. So I can tell there's a possible tsunami coming afterwards.
Can you just explain that, the coral that you saw?
There was a backside, there were some rocks and there's corals that usually we don't see, but after the earthquake, it seems like the water all went outwards, and you can see the coral on the ocean side.
Now, Dave Humano, can I just ask you to stay there? Don't go away. We've got to say goodbye to some of our listeners who are online with us now, so you just stay there. Don't go away, because I want to come back to you. And
okay.
Now for some of you who are leaving the English service and you're going off to the Tok Prison service, Paul Scombo will be your host this morning. You've got a whole raft of interest for you, so see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Now, Dave, I just want you to stay there. We're just saying goodbye to the Tok Prison service. Now, what happens for you now? How long do you expect the airport to be closed, and what kind of impact will it have on your flight schedule?
Right now, we're just closing because we don't have that many scheduled flights for today, so we're just closing that out, and we're waiting for the emergency crew to let us know when the tsunami warning is clear, and we'll start working on the debris.
Now, have you been in touch with your local meteorology bureau to know and get more information of what you can expect there?
Yeah, they're right next door to us.
And so what are they telling you?
They're telling that the warning's still out for the tsunami, so that's still up at this time, and I was just waiting for them to clear that.
Dave Fuiamano, airport supervisor at Pango Pango, which is now closed, and that's in American Samoa, of course. This is Pacific Beat on ABC Radio Australia. And we're going to Apia now and Samoa and to the Samoa Observer correspondent, Alan Amu. Talofa, Alan. How are you doing?
Talofa, Julie.
Now then, you experienced the earthquake. Can you tell us what actually happened?
Well, we've finished sort of finishing washing up and one of my daughters was in the just finishing her shower, getting ready to take them to school when the shaking began.
And so how bad was it?
Well, just all of us who experienced earthquakes before knew it was a big one because it went on for quite a while. I can't give you an exact time, but you sense that it was longer than the usual shakes that we've had.
And it didn't shake you off your feet or anything. It just shook the house, the foundations.
It shook the house to an alarming extent. We all went and stood under the sort of doorways as instructed, according to safety precautions that's been aired on our TV. Since the big tsunami in the other countries. But then the children, got their uniform together. There were one or two aftershocks, but the children got dressed for school. But then over the radio came the tsunami warning, and that stopped us in our tracks. The two girls ready to go to school were actually inside the car, and I was about to get in myself to drive them to school. And then the warning came, which came over 2AP radio, and accompanied by church bells going. So we knew then that the warning was on. So we then prepared to go to higher ground. There's a sports complex just inland from us where people in the Faliata district where we are, we have a designated location to go to, and that's a sport field, just a couple of minutes drive from where we are. We did that, and we called my mother, who lives just down the road, just to tell them that are they prepared. So they said yes. They were in the car. I could hear my mother starting her car, so that was comforting. And then we made the decision on the phone, and instead of going to the designated location, we'll keep going inland to much higher ground where we have a place near the center of the island. And that's where, in fact, we are now. Next door to us, they called us while we were riding this higher at our place higher up in the island, and then we got a call from our immediate neighbor. They've got their mother is bound to a wheelchair, and they could come up, and we said sure. So they grabbed a taxi, a relative of theirs owns a taxi, and they got him to bring their mother over to our place over here in the center of the island, and accompanying them were various relatives and the two infants and three primary school children. So where we are now, we have four primary school children and one college student and one national university student. So it's the first time my mum has met this elderly woman who's wheelchair bound. So as we're talking, they're chatting, they're discussing events and listening to the radio for the latest.
Okay, Alan Amu, who's with the Samoa Observer. It sounds like everyone's heeding the warnings and doing as they should. Good luck with it, and we hope that it peters out before it gets to you.
Okay. Thanks.
Alan Amu. Women's groups in Tonga are refusing to accept the government's rejection of a United Nations convention outlawing gender discrimination. A coalition of five organisations is organising a nationwide petition protesting the government's decision not to ratify the convention on the elimination of all forms of discrimination against women. The Tongan government says it already implements most of the conventions anyway, but has concerns about how it might affect the system of land tenure and the line of succession to the throne. Bruce Hill reports.
The rejection of the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, or CEDAW, had wide support, with Tonga's parliament voting against it by 18 votes to 1, with 4 abstentions. The country's prime minister has now defended that decision at the UN General Assembly in New York. Dr. Fred Savelli told the gathering of world leaders that Tonga's culture emphasises communal and family responsibilities rather than individual rights, and so applying CEDAW in full wouldn't be appropriate for Tongan society. But he told the General Assembly that women's rights are already fully respected in Tonga.
Mr. Chairman, our parliament recently considered ratification of the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, known as CEDAW. Parliament voted not to ratify CEDAW because to do so would cut across our cultural and social heritage that make up our unique Tongan way of life. We take the ratification of international treaties very seriously. We did not want to ratify CEDAW as a matter of international convenience. We would rather be judged on our actions of empowerment of women than by a ratification of convenience. And we make no apologies for our stance. We admit that there are issues to be addressed, but rather than ratify CEDAW, we prefer to address those specific areas of concern for women in our own way. And we maintain that our women are among the most highly cherished, highly elevated and respected in the world.
Ofa Gutenbeel-Liki-Liki, Executive Director for the Tongan National Centre for Women and Children, says that statement does not reflect the reality that she's seeing. She says her organisation, together with the Tonga Women's Congress, the Tonga National Council of Women, for Women and Families, and the Human Rights and Democracy Movement, are organising a nationwide petition to overturn the decision.
Well, my immediate reaction is, first of all, his statement that Tonga does not want to ratify CEDAW because it does not want to be seen as ratifying as a matter of convenience. I mean, that totally disregarding the years of work and dialogue and advocacy and lobbying around this convention by women's groups, by women's leaders in Tonga. It's totally disregarding all the hard work that's been done over the past 10 years. His statement that women are highly cherished in Tonga compared to other women across the world. I mean, you know, Bruce, it's quite hard to stomach that statement, particularly where I am currently working as the Managing Director of the Tonga National Centre for Women and Children. If that statement was true, why on earth are we seeing battered women on a daily basis? Why on earth are we dealing with rape cases? Why on earth have we had 4 homicides out of 6 homicides in the first 6 months of this year, directly husbands murdering their wives? Why on earth, and why are we seeing so many, child abuse cases, particularly amongst young girls? Where does he get this insane idea that women and young girls in Tonga are highly cherished compared to the rest of the world? It's ludicrous.
Well, the government's rejected CEDAW. Isn't that really the end of the matter? In politics, you win some, you lose some. The women's groups have lost this.
No. I don't think we've lost it. I think they've just started the ball game, Bruce. We're not going to let it end here. And, you know, if they're going to refuse to listen to us as women's groups, then we're going to make them listen to us. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just the way we're going to have to look at things, because if Cabinet is outright refusing to listen to our concerns, to take into consideration the many years of hard work that we've put into CEDAW, we will have to look at other means.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, we're going to go direct to the top person, him or her. I mean, the current king is not in country, but the Princess Regent is Salope Mafia-Pilolevu. We're going to go directly to her, and we're going to take it as a petition.
Ofa Gutenbeel-Liki-Liki, Executive Director for the Tongan National Centre for Women and Children, ending that report from Bruce Hill. Now, here's Christine Webster with some news headlines.
Thanks, Geraldine. There are reports 3 children were killed as a result of the tsunami that hit Samoa. The tsunami came in the wake of an 8.3 magnitude earthquake, flattening houses and sweeping away cars. A journalist with the Samoa Observer, Russell Hunter, says the quake lasted a minute and a half in Samoa. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Centre says a tsunami warning